السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, we have been discussing one hadith of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a hadith, a Qudsi. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, addressing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, informs him that we have sent you, O my beloved Nabi, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidam wa mubashiram wa nazira. We have sent you as a witness, as a giver of glad tidings, and as a warner. Warn the people that if they are going to indulge in sins, if they are going to reject Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if they are going to disbelieve in Him, if they are not going to recognize Him as the Creator and worship Him, then there will be destruction. And for the believers also, if they have accepted Islam and they have believed, then if they are not going to obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then they must be ready for all kinds of disaster. And if they obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give them conditions of peace, of happiness, of contentment. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give them government on this land. لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah ta'ala will give them istikhlaf, will give them government on this land. And so many other promises Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whatever He made, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam conveyed it to the ummah. So He was a giver of glad tidings and He was also a warner. It just comes to mind that at present, inshallah, if Allah wills, we are discussing this hadith sharif, but whatever comes into mind, it's beneficial for myself, for you, for whoever is here. That at present, we all know of the conference that is taking place on AIDS. And so-called intelligent people from all over the world are gathering to find a solution to the problem of AIDS. But the industry which is flourishing the most at present in Durban during this AIDS conference are the escort agencies and the prostitute quarters. It is flourishing the most. A person who is directly involved in some kind of business with these type of institutions, he says that at present they are seeking more and more. They are seeking more and more prostitutes to satisfy the needs of the thousands of delegates that have come. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. How can a conference, or how can delegates to such a conference, I'm not talking about everyone, there are exceptions, I'm talking about what this person is reported to have said, and it is the truth, that those who have got no fear of akhirat, no fear of accountability on the day of judgment, those who have got no concern of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala being the creator and who is going to question on the day of judgment, and for those for whom there is no such thing as restriction, there is no haram and halal, then what is there to restrain them from committing zina? If they are far away from their homes, then what is it that will restrain them? Nothing. So we do not say that it is not a problem. Sometimes we get the wrong impression that the ulama are unconcerned. AIDS is not a problem. Nobody said it is not a problem. It's a very major problem. It's a major problem. Millions of people will be wiped out from the surface of this earth according to the statistics. And there is no need for me to give you all the statistics. You know more than I do. You are reading more than I do, and you are watching more than I do. And statistics are being given every day by the different speakers, which we read of in the newspapers. So statistics are plentiful that millions of people are going to be wiped out. Whatever the cause they may attribute it to. But there is no doubt we know that it is adultery, it is fornication, it is sodomy, which is the major cause of these type of diseases. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that hadith it says that he is a giver of glad tidings and also a warner. So indeed he has warned us long, long before, over 1400 years ago. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned that my ummah will stay enjoying happiness, contentment, satisfaction. I'm just giving you the meaning. That means there will be peace, there will be happiness. The ummah will not suffer hardships until zina does not become dominant in the society. He says, when zina will become dominant in the society, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send the azab also, which will cover and encompass the entire community. The good and the bad after that will all get caught. The innocent will also get caught. Then on the day of judgment, Allah ta'ala will separate the good from the bad, and He will reward those who were good for the patience that they exercised. But the azab will become an arm azab, a common azab, an azab which will grip everybody. Different kinds of azab. If you look at the AIDS problem, then it's not only those who are indulging in these type of sinful deeds who are now suffering, but even innocent women, that the husband gets married, he had AIDS and he transfers it. Or little children are getting AIDS. Babies are getting AIDS. So the azab has become so common and so armed, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted, that when people will indulge in these type of sins, then this is what is going to happen. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that when zina will become abundant in the society, then there will be plenty of deaths in that society. Plenty of deaths. Earthquakes will take away hundreds of thousands. Flood waters will take away thousands. Crashes, smashes. People will be just leaving the world by droves. There will be plenty of killings and plenty of murders when zina will become armed in the society. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in that hadith, inna arsalnaka shahidam wa mubashiram wa nazira. Now this is another angle that suddenly came into my mind, and let us carry on. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has warned us. He has warned us that the people who are going to indulge in adultery, as we all know that the Quran Sharif says very, very clearly, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Allah Ta'ala does not say that don't commit adultery, don't do zina. Allah Ta'ala says do not even go close to zina. It is an obscene thing. It is a terrible action. It is an abominable deed. And it is a very bad way. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the creator of man, He is telling us that don't even go close to zina. We know that at all the petrol stations, they say that you must not light any cigarette. You must not light any match. And yet, it is not necessary that your matchstick or your cigarette is going to cause a problem there. But there is that danger. There is that danger that if there was some petrol that was on the floor, some tank was overfilled and there were a few drops still there on the ground, and it could just happen that your cigarette falls there and then there will be an explosion. So you don't even go close to it. You don't smoke anywhere close to those petrol pumps, because there is a danger. those people who say that Shariat is very, very strict and very rigid and very hard, they do not know what Shariat is. Shariat is so beautiful. It is so wonderful. It wants to protect us. It wants to protect our health. It wants to protect our wealth. It wants to protect our integrity. It wants to protect our chastity. It wants to protect our honor and our dignity. Shariat does not want us to go anywhere near anything that will bring about embarrassment, shame, or diseases, or disgrace. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, don't even go close to zina. I can't help but repeating, and it is the truth, we all know, that there are so many people in our society who are caught up with extramarital relationships. Why? Because they went close to zina. Allah ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. And here they went close to it. If you are going to have secret meetings and consultations behind closed doors with scantily dressed women whom we call our secretaries, then what else are we going to expect if not the next step, which is zina? It hurts, definitely. I can give you a lot of things which will make you very happy and say, Maulana gave a very nice bayan. But those things which hurt also, we must be prepared to accept that it is our mistake, it is our fault. Because we get calls every day from women who are complaining of their husbands being caught up in extramarital relationships. And so many husbands are phoning about their wives being caught up here and there. So it has become so arm and so common. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned. He says that when this will become common in the society, then you must also expect an azab that will become arm in the society. The azab also will be just like that. It will cover everyone. In another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when these type of things, these type of sins will become prevalent, then Allah ta'ala will send such kind of diseases which their forefathers never heard of. Billions of dollars are being spent to find a solution to the problem of AIDS. And the type of solutions that they come up with are nothing but a joke. Besides, of course, the vaccine and other things. But if a person has got tumor in his brains, and if we are going to give him aspirin and dysprin, it is not going to solve the problem. If a person's sight is failing, if a person's heart, liver and lungs are all becoming affected because he is suffering from sugar diabetes, then the sensible person will go and have himself treated for sugar. Because that is the problem, that is the cause. What is the sense of treating the symptoms? This is what is happening, that people are looking at the symptoms, but they are not prepared to treat the cause. In a society where porn literature is in abundance, a society in which there's so much of porn films, and in fact even if it is not the hardcore porn, then to which film today we can say that is good enough for any sensible, reasonable Muslim of good iman to see? What are they promoting? What is being promoted? If not zina, then what else is being promoted? Why are women being used to advertise anything from a needle to an elephant? The passions of men are being excited all the time. In schools and colleges and universities, why are boys and girls made to sit together? Just go to any university and say, put the girls at the back and put the boys in the front. They will say it's discrimination. Gender discrimination. Put them together. Now if you are going to have a young boy and a young girl sitting together, what else do we expect after that? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't even go close to zina. And we are finding every way and mean of going close to zina. The moment you come close, of course out of necessity a doctor has to see a patient, but there too he must have taqwa in his heart that Allah is watching. We are getting so many cases of haram indulgence because there is no fear of Allah. So we are not saying that it's not permissible in consultations, such as certain things are necessary. It is permissible for a hakim to even feel the pulse or for the doctor to feel the pulse, to treat the patient. But the taqwa must be in the heart that my Allah is watching. And if the person does not have taqwa, then it is going to lead to the next step. So the solution to this problem of AIDS is nothing but to educate the community to stay far away from those things that lead to zina, that lead to sodomy. If we are not going to keep them away from there and just advertise that each and everyone should be very careful when they are having relationship, that they must practice safe sex, then that is not Islam. That may be good for the others. But for a Muslim, there is nothing else except emphasis on this point that don't go close to zina. Don't go close to anything that's abnormal as far as relationship is concerned. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us guidelines in the Quran Sharif. Hadith Sharif has given us so much of guidelines. And for a Muslim, there is nothing else except abstention. There is no sexual relationship besides marriage. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in Surah Mu'minun, describing the sifats and the qualities of those people who are successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ They have attained success. One of the qualities that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions there is that they do not commit adultery. They do not commit adultery. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ And it goes on. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that they do not commit adultery. If you look at Surah Furqan, there again Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala describing the sifats of those who are the ibad, or the righteous servants, the saliheen, wa ibadur rahman, the servants of Rahman. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ And then after that is mentioned, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ And they do not commit adultery. They do not commit adultery. They don't make zina. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala describes these sifats, that these are the sifats and the qualities of believers, that they don't go anywhere near zina. They control their nafs. And as I mentioned, that when passions are going to be all the time flaring, and if we are going to watch those things that incite the passions, we are going to listen to those things that incite passions, then it is going to lead to the next step, which is zina. And at present there is no restriction. So when prostitutes are going to be provided plentiful to the society, and as also even to the delegates, for those who came late, I mentioned that one person reported that he is doing some kind of business, supplying certain kinds of equipment to some escort agencies. He wanted to know whether it is halal or haram. How can you be supplying to an escort agency when you know that it is totally haram? But nevertheless, he reported. He says that at present the most flourishing institution during this AIDS conference are the prostitute quarters and the escort agencies. Now they are going to solve our problem of AIDS. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that in the Bani Israel, just one person on one occasion committed zina. It was a jihad that was being waged, and one person from the Muslim army of the Bani Israel, he committed zina. The punishment that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent upon them was that in one day 70,000 people died. 70,000 people died in one day. In another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends plague in such places. In another hadith, he says, Allah ta'ala sends famine and drought. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that three things. He said, Oh, my ummah, or oh mankind, say stay away from zina, stay far away from zina, because three things will happen in this world. First thing is that the noor of the face, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will take it away. On the face of a mu'min, there is a noor. It's not the whiteness of the skin. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was dark skinned, But the noor on his face was unreal. It was shining. He may have been dark skinned, but his heart was pure white. The Ahlullah, we do not have that kind of sight because we are all the time seeing haram. What can we see with our eyes? But those people who have got a purified heart, the person does not even have to tell his name, even if he is clean shaven. Even if he is clean shaven and he is in Western clothes, but there is a certain noor on his face. If that person is restraining at least from all other harams, then there is a certain noor on his face that you can say that this person is a believer in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The noor of the kalima shahadat. But he says Allah tabarak wa ta'ala takes that noor away from the faces of those people who are indulging in adultery. The ahlullah, the friends of Allah, the walis of Allah can see that this person is indulging in adultery. Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a person came to his majlis, he just looked at him, he lowered his gaze, and they don't like to embarrass the person by telling him directly. He said, what has happened? What has happened that people commit adultery and then they come and sit in our majlis? So what did he see? They have basirat, they see with their eyes of their heart. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says Allah ta'ala takes away that noor. The second thing that Allah ta'ala takes away is the barakat from their sustenance. Those people who indulge in adultery, in fornication, in zina, then the barakat of their sustenance is taken away. Sometimes the person is earning plentiful, but he's got no barakat at all. There is no barakat in his sustenance. Which person says today that, yes, I've got enough barakat, alhamdulillah, I've earned sufficiently, there's plenty of barakat. This is an azab that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends into the community. And not only that, but sometimes in reality Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala snatches away everything that was given. Look at the huge kingdoms that the Muslim ummah was given. The governments that they ruled over. The 800 years of Spain rule. Look at the rule of the Mughal emperors. But when they began to indulge in adultery, in fornication and music and all kinds of vices, تجھکو بتاؤں میں تقدیر امم کیا ہے آ تجھ کو بتاؤں میں تقدیر امم کیا ہے شمشیر و سنا اول طاؤس و رباب آخر. He says the تقدیر of the امم, when Allah Ta'ala wants to give them elevation and raise their ranks and position, then at that time the person is ready for jihad. He has got the spirit of Islam in him. He is ready to pick up the sword if it is required, and he is ready to spread the message of deen. But when there is a decline that is coming, then at that time it's music, entertainment, fun, pleasure, adultery, fornication. These are the type of things that they indulge in. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took away those entire governments. He took away those territories from the hands of the believers, and he gave it away to those people who were the enemies. It has been attributed to the large-scale indulgence in zina. There's no time to go into details. But then the third point that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them a decrease in their lifespans. Allah ta'ala is the maker of taqdeer. He fixes. He decrees. So there is a decrease in the lifespan. If you look at the average age of the ummah today, what is it? As I mentioned last night, that there are more grandparents living than grandchildren these days. Or grandparents are attending the funeral and janazah salat of their great-grandchildren. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is taking away. The lifespans are decreasing. He says that is the punishment that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives according to that hadith. On the day of judgment, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's anger will know no bounds. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will punish this person with very, very severe testing and the azab of Jahannam. So zina, sodomy, these are the things which lead to these type of diseases and sicknesses. But as I mentioned earlier, that when the azab becomes common, general, when all kinds of people get caught up in that azab, then the innocent ones also get caught, because if the flood waters come, they are not going to go round and round the houses of those people that are worshipping and obeying Allah Ta'ala. In this world, everybody enjoys the sunshine, everybody enjoys the cool breeze, everybody enjoys the waters of the rivers, and everybody enjoys the fresh air and all the other ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, whether he's a believer or disbeliever. But on the day of Qiyamah, they will be told, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. But because we do not stop the others from these sins, then we also get caught up with that azab. That is the major concern. That if in our own homes people are indulging in zina, in adultery, in fornication, and if we are not indulging directly in zina and fornication, then we are observing fornication and adultery thousands of times on the television screen, and it does not even create any kind of worry or concern in our hearts. In fact, it has become a norm. And when we are going to watch those actions all the time, then that impediment will be removed. Then that we will not be able to restrain ourselves, because that person who is not married in the first place and he is watching all these type of actions, then what else is he going to do if he is not going to indulge in some abnormal action? So brother, zina is a very, very serious disease. It's a criminal offense in the eye of Sharia. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned many places in the Quran Sharif, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in many hadiths, warning the ummah of the consequences of zina. So we don't say that we must not search for solutions to the problems of AIDS. It's a problem, any disease, any sickness. We must sympathize with those people who are suffering the disease, because some of them are caught up innocently and some of them are caught up because of their actions. But the person who is caught because of his actions, he too can make sincere tawbah. It is not property that he has stolen from somebody that he has to go and return. He indulged in some kind of haram activity and realized too late, as far as his physical health is concerned, that I should not have indulged in this type of action. But as far as his tawbah is concerned, he can make tawbah. And in fact, when a Muslim realizes that he is caught in this kind of, with this kind of disease, then if he is a true Muslim, then his tawbah will also increase. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we do not know what stages he will give him in Jannat because of that extensive and abundant amount of tawbah that he's making. So we sympathize with them. And the treatment also must be found and searched. But it is not going to solve the problem if we are not going to go to the root cause. As I mentioned, that just aspirin and dysprin is not going to solve the tumor in the brain. It requires an operation. And the operation for the Muslim is this, that he's got to get rid from his life of anything and everything that tempts him towards sodomy or zina. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect and safeguard us. We were discussing the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Allah ta'ala had mentioned his characteristics and his akhlaq, and one of it was that he is a giver of glad tidings and he is a warner. And somehow our topic went on to this subject, but may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect the entire ummah from these type of diseases, sicknesses, illnesses. And Allah ta'ala must give us that khawf of his and that taqwa in our hearts, that we don't go anywhere near any adultery or fornication. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.